week. And I hope that you have had a wonderful week, and it's exciting to be going into the Christmas season. I love this season, and this passage of Scripture is a great passage of Scripture to kind of set the tone as we transition into a focus on Christmas. And I'm looking forward to what we will be looking at this Sunday coming up. It's a passage that I think will be a tremendous encouragement to you, and it will remind you of how good God is, and what He ultimately accomplished, not just in the incarnation and the cross, but also how God's providence really allowed all of these pieces to come together, how He worked to bring us redemption. And so I think that it'll be a very encouraging text for us to deal with, and looking forward to it. But anyway, let's get back to our passage one more time. I want to read it, and then we'll have a couple of final thoughts that we can look at as we go into the weekend. Here's what it says, Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 23. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass that when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his place, his goods are in peace. And when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, and taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divides his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. You say, well, Joel, what's the final takeaway from this passage of Scripture? Very simple thing. There's no middle ground with Christ. You have to take a decision about Christ. Now, when we talk about faith, I want to remind you that faith is not just something that we feel in our hearts. Faith is not an emotional experience. Faith is decisive. It's based on facts. It's a choice to rely or trust or depend upon the word of another. And so when we talk about no middle ground with Christ, what we're saying is you have to either choose to believe that what the Bible says about Jesus is true, or you choose to reject that what the Bible says about Christ is true. You say, well, I'd like to just kind of find a middle ground. I think most of what it says about Jesus is true, but not all of what it says about Jesus is true. Or some of what it says about Christ is true, but not all of what it says about Christ is true. Listen carefully to his words in verse 23. He that is not with me is against me. It's this one side or the other. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. That's what Jesus said. Everyone has to pick a side in this conflict. And sadly, the religious leaders chose the wrong side. And sadly, many of the people that lived contemporary to Christ during the incarnation were people who chose the wrong side. And sadly, many people today are people who choose the wrong side. You can't be neutral. Either you believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, who came, who died, who rose from the dead in triumph, and can and desires to reconcile us to God, if you believe that's true, or you embrace some other different view of Christ. Oh, he was a good man. He was a moral teacher. We could take a lot of his ideas and use them. I like the traditions that come with Christianity. I like the morality that comes with Christianity. I like some of the morality that comes with Christianity, but not all of the morality that comes with Christianity. You can't choose a middle ground here. Either he is the Lord or he's not. Either he is the Savior or he's not. Either he is God in flesh or he's not. You can't find middle ground there. His commands are too exclusive. His expectations are too exclusive. His self-revelation is too exclusive. You have to choose a side. And so the verse tells us either you're with him or you're against him. You're either embracing him or you're resisting him. And so I want to remind you that we are in the middle of a great conflict. The conflict goes on in every single generation. The conflict is going on in the halls of Congress. The conflict is going on around the nations of the world. The conflict is going on within our church context. It's going on within our family context. It's going on within our schooling contexts. It's going on within our working context. There is a great battle going on between two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And the fact is that the gospel stands between those who are in the kingdom of darkness and those who are in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our kingdom is this one kingdom is in opposition to the Creator, the only one who is the rightful sovereign over all things. The other is redeemed to God by the blood of Christ through his triumph on the cross, and is ultimately awaiting the fulfillment and the end of all things, where they will experience the full weight and the wonderful benefits of their eternal inheritance. And what we do with Christ determines everything. Our relationship to him determines our relationship to these two kingdoms. Either I'm in him and a part of his eternal kingdom, or I am outside of him in Adam, spiritually dead, separated from him, and under the wrath to come. We can't be neutral concerning Christ. And so as we enter the Christmas season, I ask you, what are you going to do with Christ? I would assume most of the people who are watching these videos are people who are believers. You have already taken your choice. You've already embraced him as your Savior. You've received him as the one who died for your sins. But it's possible there might be someone who's listening that's on the fence. You haven't taken your choice. You haven't made a decision. You're uncertain about that. And I want to encourage you, if you have uncertainty about who Christ is and what Christ did, don't hesitate to reach out to me personally. And I'd love to sit down with you. I'd love to have a conversation with you on the phone. I'd love to have an email correspondence. However we need to communicate, may the Lord help us to have that conversation. But those of us who have embraced the gospel, I want to encourage you, worship him this season. Adore him. Rest exclusively in his redemptive work. Be happy and contented in what you have in Christ. Enjoy the benefits of your current position and your future inheritance. Anticipate it with great joy. And let's be a people who this season take the time to proclaim the gospel. Maybe you have a friend who doesn't know the Lord, doesn't go to church, never been to church in their life. Invite them to our Christmas Eve service. Invite them to the Christmas Cantata in a couple of weeks. And those will be great opportunities for them to hear the true meaning of the Christmas story. Why did Jesus come? Why was it necessary? What did he do? Who is this person, this babe in the manger? And as we have the opportunity to present these things in our church, or perhaps in your church in another community, we should be praying fervently that God will work in hearts, that people will be convicted of their sin and their need to place their faith in Christ. And ultimately, many people will come to faith in Christ through the gospel presentations that go on during this Christmas season. I'm praying that the Lord will use this time in his word to be an encouragement to you this weekend. Have a blessed weekend. And Lord willing, I look forward to seeing many of you on Sunday. And if not, then Lord willing, we'll see many of you in our next recording when we come to next Monday. Have a blessed day. Bye now.